up, Disrupt Nation? My name is Anthony Delgado, and today's guest is Todd Denken from DigiPath Inc. Todd, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about how you got into the cannabis industry.
Sure. Back in the mid-2000s, I was with a technology firm that was pretty disruptive in the technology space, and looking to get into the next trend of business, we stumbled upon, my partner and I, a hydroponic company in about 2008, and this is when the next trend that was happening around the country was indoor hydroponic growing. So we got together and we bought a 25-year-old hydroponic company called Phototron, and we took that company public, and then suddenly we were in the cannabis space, and we started acquiring other hydroponic companies as well as other lighting companies, and had some pretty good success.
Wow, that's exciting. So you took the cannabis company public. I and again, correct me if I'm wrong, forgive me for my ignorance. I was under the impression that cannabis-based companies, they couldn't do banking, and they definitely couldn't go on the stock market. So how were you guys able to manage that?
Yeah, well, you know, there are some, there's a, you know, about 25 or 30 cannabis companies that are publicly traded right now. There's a two that are on the NASDAQ, and most of the others are over the counter. Lots of regulation and lots of hoops you got to jump through to make sure that, you know, the SEC is comfortable with your business model. The great thing about the testing industry is that, you know, we don't really make the product or sell the product or transport the product or do anything like that. You know, we're a service to the cannabis industry. So it's really the lesser of all of the perceived evils, you know, of the cannabis space. And banking is still definitely a problem. It's a problem for us. It's a problem for the entire cannabis industry. The fact that we have to do everything in cash is completely absurd.
Definitely, definitely. And I think there are some people that are looking to crypto to kind of solve that issue. And I think that's why those two industries seem to play pretty well. Have you guys?
But even with that, yeah. Even with that, you know, it's the consumer that creates the revenue, right? The consumer goes to the dispensary and and pays the dispensary. So, until the consumer is going to use the cryptocurrency, then you know, it's really useless, because what happens is the chain of events is the customer buys the product at the dispensary level for cash, that the dispensary pays the cultivator for cash, and then the cultivator and the producers, they pay us in cash, right? Because that's with the consumer, and if the consumer doesn't embrace it, it's a dead issue until that happens, in my opinion anyway.
Definitely, absolutely. So you mentioned regulations on banking, and then I realized that you guys are a testing lab, so people are sending you samples, right? How are they sending it? Because they can't send it in the postal mail either, right?
Right. So we're only, you're only licensed in the particular state where you're in. So you have to do all the product has to come from Nevada that we test. And they don't send it to us. The regs say here in Nevada that we go and we retrieve that. So we have technicians that go to the actual cultivators and to the producers and to all the kitchens, and they pick up the product based on the Nevada regs. In here in Nevada, we do it from the lab to the producer of the product, whether it's a cultivator or a guy making oils or extracts or edibles. And in California, it's a little different, where it's the distributor that picks up, that gets the product delivered to them, or actually they go pick up the product, and then the lab will have to deal with the distributor. So it's all based on state by state regulations. I couldn't test any cannabis products that are not from Nevada in my Nevada lab.
Got that. And what motivated you guys to get into this industry?
Well, there's a need for it. You know, I mean, you know, we talked briefly about my previous life, how I got into the cannabis space. And, you know, we parlayed that Phototron into this DigiPath because, you know, testing is a crucial part of what happens in the chain of events from growing a piece of cannabis to getting it on the shelf, right? This is a former black market industry that needs to be, or that needed to be regulated. And, you know, whenever you can get into a business that is mandatory and it is a regulation, then it creates customers for you, right? And because in order for somebody to sell something, they have to get something tested. So we're part of that chain and an integral part of that chain, as well as we're there to protect the public, to make sure that nothing is, you know, none of these cultivators or none of these producers are, you know, there's no additives, there's no pesticides. You know, we test for all kinds of stuff like heavy metals and pesticides, and we do pretty intense microbial screens. So it's all to keep the end user, the consumer, or the patient safe. So it was, we found a need. And, you know, 4 years ago when Nevada was going legal with their medical marijuana program, it was a good opportunity for us to dive right in here. And it's been great ever since.
Super cool. So out of all the things that you guys test, edibles, oils, and regular cannabis, what do you test the most?
We test mostly flower. And then probably next would be extracts, and then next would be edibles. It's kind of how the market is trending. Although extracts are certainly gaining on flower usage, because lots of folks, you know, it's, you can't really, you know, smoke a joint without it stinking up an entire, you know, room, right? So a lot of people are attracted to the discreetness of the oils.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. And what have you guys done for marketing, right? Like, how do you advertise? How do you get the word out about a service like that?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. You know, we have our operations manager. Her name is Shelby Stanley, and she is really our marketing maven. And really, this is a relationship business, and it's all about going and talking to these folks. The good and the bad news is that there's a finite number of customers. You know, there's only a certain amount of cultivators and only a certain amount of producers. So these are the folks that we do business with, and we know them all. So it's really all about creating that that trust, you know, and that great customer service. We offer, you know, 3-day turnaround for your results. Like I said, we have the best customer service in town. We have a 19-person staff, with 12 of those folks being very highly educated scientists with PhDs and master's degrees. And you know, it's we're always available, and it means something in this business. You know, like I said, this is a business that came from the black market, right? That has to go trust somebody to make sure that they're, you know, going to be safe. So there's a lot involved over there, and it's really all about creating these personal relationships.
Definitely, and I think that's the whole argument for legalization, even recreational in general, is so that the stuff is tested. You're not buying it on the street. It's tested, it's certified, you know what's in it. More importantly, you know what's not in it, and you know that it's safe. You know, the marijuana that you're consuming, if you choose to, is safe.
That's exactly right. And it's really important. You know, everything we do in our life is regulated. Like the gas we put in our car, the milk we drink, the water we drink, everything is regulated and has to be to a certain standard. And even cigarettes, you know, have to be to a certain standard. All alcohol has to be to a certain standard. Pharmaceutical drugs have to all be tested to make sure they are what you say they are. And that's why it's so important to do this with cannabis, because prior to it being tested, like you said, you bought it on the street from a guy, and you have no idea what the guy is doing, you know? So it is a way, it is for consumer protection and for validation of the industry, for sure.
Definitely. It reminds me of a story I heard when I was a kid. I don't even know if this is true, but a bunch of kids got together and sold some other kids poison ivy and said it was marijuana. And then they smoked it, and one of the kids died because he got a poison ivy inside of his throat, inside of his lungs, right?
Oh my God!
And his right. And his breathing cavity, closed up. So like that's, I guess, an extreme case. But you know, they even have like this synthetic, like fake weed. There's all this weird stuff, and when it's on the black market, you're susceptible to, you know, black market business practices, right? So you guys are making sure that all of these marijuana dispensaries are certified and it's tested and the stuff is clean and safe for human consumption, right?
Yeah. Clean and safe, and also we test for potency, so you know what it is that you're ingesting, you know, not to get the really super high stuff with the THC, you know. And we also test CBD products, we also test hemp products, and you know, again, it's all for, so you know exactly what you're putting in your body, because really that's what it's all about. You know, we want to know what it is that we're ingesting, whether we're eating it or smoking it or whatever.
Absolutely. And so you guys only operate in Nevada right now, is that correct?
That is correct. We are in Nevada now. We have plans to open in California this year. And we're also looking down in South America to open a lab down there as well.
Interesting. Interesting. So in South America, what countries have legalized at this point?
Lots of them have legalized. We're concentrating first with on Colombia. Colombia is predicted to produce about 44% of the world's cannabis, you know, over the next 10 years or so, at 40.5 tons per year. They're right on the equator. They have 12 hours of sun and 12 hours of darkness every single day. You know, the temperature ranges from 78 to 83 degrees every single day. It really is perfect growing weather for cannabis. And they're also getting into world export. So we believe that as countries import and export, that that's where the business model will turn.
Definitely, absolutely. So I don't know if you know about Disrupt. We actually are headquartered down here in sunny San Juan, Puerto Rico. And nice. Cannabis was legalized here recently.
I know. I love Puerto Rico. I was just down there last year. I'm good friend. I have some good friends that work down there with a school that teach cannabis down there. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Puerto Rico.
Oh, really? Wow, that's very interesting. So they're teaching them what part of cannabis?
All parts. All parts. You know, whether you want to get licensed or you just want to be a patient, you want to learn about, you know, the plant and what it can do for you.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So in Puerto Rico, unfortunately, it's not legalized for recreation. It's only legalized for medical. So what do you think? What do you think the barriers are, not only in Puerto Rico but other states, to making that jump from medical to recreation?
I think the barrier is old white guys.
Present company excluded. Right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Because I am an old white guy. I say that affectionately to my brethren, right? I think it's just education. Education is the key. And as more and more people get educated about what the plant really is and what it can do and what it is doing, you know, that's when legislation change. Good education creates good legislation. And really, that's what it's all about. When the legislators can even get educated, then, you know, it's easier to open up minds, you know, because they don't see it as the devil's lettuce as it's been marketed to us, you know, for the last 80 years or so, you know.
Definitely, definitely. So what do you predict the cannabis industry is going to look like in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think within 10 years, it's all going to be owned by the pharmaceutical industry. In 5 years, it's going to be federally legal. And we'll be moving into that consolidation that I think is going to happen in 10 years, right? So I think everything's going to consolidate in 10 years. There'll be a dozen or 20 big players, and everybody else will be employees.
Definitely, definitely. Well, from your mouth to God's ears, hoping we can live into that future, that reality, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you a smoker yourself?
I am.
Very cool. Very cool. And what have you seen the positive effects of THC?
Well, for me, you know, I have several lower abdominal issues that I deal with from a medical standpoint. And I've been using medical cannabis for a while to help me with that. You know, I'm a 55-year-old guy. I don't take any kind of medication of any kind. I eat pretty healthy, and I take some CBDs and I do, you know, smoke some cannabis as well because it makes me feel good. You know, it's all about having a good quality of life. It makes me feel good. It heals my ailments and takes the stress out of my life. And for me, it helps me focus. So I've been a big fan for a long time.
Amazing. So the first Bible was made out of cannabis, was made out of hemp paper. Is that, that's
yep. Right?
So why do you think, you know, Obama and all these ungodly politicians, why don't they like the Bible? Why don't they want
to? Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the Bible. It has everything to do with cash. You know, hemp was originally made illegal back in the 30s. You know, because they tied it to marijuana and they said that black people and Mexican people were smoking marijuana and raping white women, right? So that all happened because Randolph Hearst didn't want to grow hemp and wanted to cut down trees instead of make hemp from paper. So it was all just about money and lobbying and politics. And if all of that stuff got out of our lives, you know, life would be much easier. But it was really all about money, power, and politics, same as it is today.
Definitely. And how do you think, I mean, I don't want to get too political, but how do you think these politicians are able to sleep at night? When you have Bill Clinton admitted that he smoked a joint, Obama wrote in his book that he smoked marijuana. I think almost all these college kids experiment. You know, I used to smoke when I was younger. I don't smoke currently because I feel that it slowed down some of my performance, but I smoked when I was a kid and everybody experiments, right? So how do you think these politicians, how are they able to sleep at night knowing the fact that they've taken fathers and broken up families with mass incarceration, you know, under the guise of being morally just? You know, these laws have impacted a lot of families, right? So how do you think, you know, how do you think that they're able to write a book, right? The president writes a book or makes a press release and says, hey, I smoked pot, but I'm not going to repeal, you know, marijuana. I'm not even going to change the schedule, right? Isn't it still worse than heroin in the scheduling? You know, how are they able to do this?
Well, politicians are a special breed of human. And this is just one of the issues that they don't really care about unless somebody's putting some money in their pocket. So, I think they sleep just fine, quite honestly. And this is just a small portion of what it is that that they have to deal with. But look, you know, this is an industry that was created by the people for the people. This is the biggest revolution since the Vietnam War and since women's rights and even civil rights. You know, the people have risen and said, look, we want to be able to eat and smoke cannabis because it's good for you and it makes us feel good and it has so many great attributes. And that's what's created not only all of those other great things in history, but also the legal cannabis movement today. It's from the people who got together and organized and forced this stuff onto ballots. And the only way to change things is to vote. So that's what happened. And then the politicians, as you see, they just adapt. They adapt to what the people want over time, as long as it makes good, makes financial sense for them in the long run. The problem that we have with our political system, not to get too political, but there's too much money in politics, too many corporations writing too many big checks, and it forces the hand of the politician instead of how it's designed, where the politicians work for the people. What the cannabis industry was able to do was get a couple of these politicians on board to help them organize and create this industry because, you know, that's what has happened. It's the biggest movement since, like I said, women's rights and even civil rights and the ending of the Vietnam War. So all of that also happened because people banded together and made change. And that's really what this industry is about, and that's what this industry has created. I don't think we need the politicians. I think the politicians are going to glom onto us when it works best for them.
Definitely. Well, Todd, thank you so much for fighting the good fight and for doing what you're doing and for building a company that, you know, helps keep marijuana safe and tests it and helps helps further the use of medical marijuana. And I have one final question before we wrap up. What does disrupt mean to you?
You know, disrupt is all about change, right? And the only thing constant in the world right now is change. And if you're not part of the disruption, you're part of the passive things. You know, you become passive and let things happen around you. But I love being able to be part of the disrupt. DigiPath is part of the disrupt. And, you know, it's important to do that because otherwise we're just lemmings, right? And we don't want to do that. Disruption is key. And let me also close by saying this, that, you know, we're a publicly traded company. You know, we talked about that at the beginning. And, you know, this is new waters for everybody. So we're real. We're here to stay. And we're here to, you know, disrupt the mainstream and make sure that they understand what we're all about and, you know, what the cannabis space is all about and certainly what DigiPath is all about.
Amazing. Well, Todd, again, thank you for being on the show. If people want to connect with you on social media, and where's the best way to do that?
Awesome. Well, our stock symbol is DIGP. So please check us out. Again, that's DIGP. That's our stock symbol. And then we're very active on social media as well. At DigiPath Labs is our handle on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter. And also check out the National Marijuana News, which is a media division that we have where we explore information, education, and interviews all in the marijuana space.
Awesome, Todd. Thank you for being on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.